For the first 100 years or so, American education was Christian-based, and it helped propel the nation into excellence and great achievement. Really, we could say the first 200 years. But in the last few decades, our school systems too often fall way short of preparing children well. One of the things in schools that continues to cause young people to do poorly in life, not to mention school, is something called social-emotional learning. It may sound good, but renowned psychologist Dr. Robert Jones warns that it is actually causing anxiety among many children. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome to the program Dr. Robert Jones IV, who is a psychologist, and he's associated now with an organization called truthineducation.org. Dr. Jones, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, thank you so much for having me. It's a great honor to be with you today.
Okay, so Doc, what is social emotional learning?
Well, that's a marvelous question, and I'll explain why. Social emotional learning was originally set up by a psychologist who was trying to use it as a way to understand clinical problems, like when somebody comes to see me in the office, to look at what their social and emotional context of life is, which is a very helpful thing. But what has happened is the concept has been hijacked by the radical education, establishment. And it has really affected how we teach children. If you go to the website for CASEL, CASEL.org, what you'll find is for example, they'll say things like, SEL advances educational equity and excellence through authentic school family community partnerships. And what that means is actually whatever you want it to mean. There are a couple of things in there, Jerry, that should be of concern to anybody. Whenever you see the phrase equity, you can pretty well anticipate that you're looking at a very progressive, very Hegelian, you know, synthesis, antithesis, synthesis kind of model. For example, one of the things that you will find from teachers that are involved in SEL, they will always teach the art of compromise, how everything is always a compromise. And one of the real problems with that is that it just obliterates the whole notion of objective truth. Also, too, it diminishes academic achievement in terms of, say, looking at abilities in the understanding of history, the understanding of English, the English language, and math, and starts to focus more on the quote unquote social and emotional development of the child instead of the academic achievement that the child might have.
So I understand from hearing you on some internet communications and so forth, where you have said it allows virtually any agenda to be pushed on the children surreptitiously.
Absolutely.
So in a sense, almost breaks down.
I mean, sometimes it's surreptitious, Jerry, but sometimes it's quite overt. Much of the things that we see, for example, in terms of that you see now in terms of like the transgender issues that are in our schools, all sorts of issues regarding sexuality and identity within the schools. Many of these are there because of the framework that was set by social and emotional learning.
Well, I understand in your work, you work as a psychologist, and is it my understanding that the level of anxiety among many of our children today has skyrocketed because of social emotional learning as opposed to despite it? In other words, what are your thoughts?
Well, no, I think that's correct. And here's why. When you're talking about young children, Jerry, you're talking about kids that really rely on structure, that really rely on clear guidelines. And the problem with SEL, at least from my perspective, the problem with SEL is that what happens is it kind of becomes like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. In other words, it can kind of mean whatever you want it to mean, so therefore it really means nothing. So, for example, say that you decide that one of the principles of social emotional learning that you want to do is you want to introduce sex education down into, I don't know, the elementary grades. Well, the problem is if you're going to do that, You have to understand where these young people are in their own in their social and emotional development. And the fact of the matter is those are the kinds of subjects that can be actually very traumatic and difficult for children. And that, so what ends up happening is they live in this heightened state of anxiety. And when a person is living in a heightened state of anxiety, they actually, it has just gross effects on their behavior. And I do see it more. Between that and what we've gone through over the last few years with children essentially being out of school because of COVID, when you combine those two things together, it's just been like pouring gasoline on a fire.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. You know, yeah. So for example, in Florida a couple of years ago, or maybe it was even just a year ago, but I guess these stories are so amazing. Ron DeSantis was virtually crucified by the liberal media, which distorted a bill, and the bill passed, and I'm grateful for that. The bill basically said that in the first grade, second grade, and third grade, it is inappropriate to teach children about sex of any kind, period, the end, first grade, second grade, third grade. No, we're not going to do that in Florida. Well, somehow that ended up being characterized by the media as the Don't Say Gay bill, and they totally distorted it, but thankfully DeSantis stuck to his guns, and that became the law. What are your thoughts on, say, a bill like that, as opposed to what the media, you know, falsified or mischaracterized it to be?
Well, Let's look at it in a slightly different kind of context. Rather than talking about it as a bill, let's look at it this way. If you go on to the CASEL website, one of the things you'll find is you'll find this set of concentric circles, and you'll see in the very middle circle the child, and then around the child you'll see classrooms. Then around the classrooms you'll see schools. Then around the around schools you'll see families and caregivers. And here's where the problem is. I mean, yes, I agree with Governor DeSantis sticking to his guns on that, and I also agree with that legislation. But I'll go even one point farther, and that is this. When you're placing classrooms at the heart, at the closest point to the schools, the closest point to the child, and family and caregivers two rounds out, you are exactly backwards. The people who have the primary responsibility for the education of children are the families. They are the ones whom God has ordained for that purpose. I mean, the family is one of the, I also have a Master of Divinity, so to put that hat on, that is one of the three institutions that God has given for the order and structure of our world. And, you know, so when you put the school and the classroom and the teacher as having primary responsibility for teaching students, then you have removed the parents from their God-given roles in teaching their children. And one of the things that they teach their children is they teach their children about sex and sexuality, period. That's why God made them the parents.
Right. That makes total sense. In fact, the teacher, in effect, is in the place of the parent. And so if the teacher is in any way going to be at war with the parent's values, that's just not right.
No, that's exactly correct. And I'll go, you know, I was at a meeting not too long ago here in Atlanta where I heard a member of a school board in a conservative county, a quote unquote conservative county here in Georgia, make the statement that he was asked the question, if a child came to a teacher and said that they were concerned about whether they were transgender, should that teacher have to report that, inform the parents? And this was a conservative school board member on a school board in a conservative county in Georgia, not exactly known as a liberal state, who said, oh, no, no, they shouldn't have to inform them because the possibility of them harming the child was too great. And I thought, first of all, there's very little evidence that that really would occur. But number two is, then that means that the school and the classroom and the teacher has primary responsibility for that child, not the parent.
Wow, that is just astounding. And if that's in Georgia, goodness gracious, what's in Vermont? Okay,
oh. So
we only have about 3 minutes left, believe it or not.
Yes.
How about a comment or two on academic achievement? And does SEL, social emotional learning, in some ways undermine genuine academic achievement? In other words, the kids are there to learn. That's the reason they go to school, not to... Yes. You know, to conform to some communist goals or something.
No, that's true. And it does affect it. And here's how, Jerry. Because remember, one of the initial goals that I just told you is to promote educational equity. Now, equity does not mean equality. But what it does mean, for example, is that basically everybody is on a level playing field. So it's not, but that sounds like equality, but it really, really isn't. And so you will end up hearing things, for example, that mathematics, where there are clear right and wrong answers, that those mathematics are, that is somehow either a racist or sexist to expect people to do that successfully, is somehow racist or sexist.
Okay, I've heard those kind of canards, and basically...
Totally out of SEL.
Yeah, that's
totally
I see. That's crazy. You know what? If you say everything is racist, then nothing is racist. And we do know some things are racist.
Yes, there are. And I mean, and that's the thing, and that's why that's so difficult to deal with, because there genuinely are some things, as you said, that are racist. But then what is the best way to get out of that horrible cycle that we've seen in the last 60 years? It is to promote a culture of achievement, because when you give children of any race, look at the late Marva Collins in Chicago, who did a magnificent program on that. When you give children a solid basis of achievement, that will absolutely reduce the amount of anxiety, that sense of imposter syndrome that children can somehow sometimes have, because their self-esteem is being built on achievement, not on these good words that do nothing but promote an empty narcissism.
Wow. Okay, we have 1 minute left. You're a part of the board of truthinaction.org. Why is
Truth
that?
And Education.
Truthandeducation.org. Why is that?
I'm on that board because I truly believe in the mission of Truth in Education, which is to combat a lot of the issues that we see with liberal infiltration of school boards, with comprehensive sex education and transgender ideology being forced on children in the schools, with obscenity in library materials, SEL, critical race theory, and also the problem sometimes that happens with predators in schools. I think Truth in Education is a very, very serves a very important job in the raising of our children. I'm really proud to be a part of it, and I'm so glad Rhonda Thomas, our executive director and founder, asked me to serve on the board.
Excellent. Dr. Robert Jones, the fourth, truthineducation.org. Thank you so much for being with us, Doc. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.